This is the Faith Conversations podcast. Here, we bring people of faith to the table for honest and authentic conversations about personal faith journeys and what it is like to have a personal relationship with God. Hi, friends. Welcome to the Faith Conversations podcast. This is Jessica Cabrera, your host. I am really excited to be here today with my brand new friend, someone that I've just met when we came in studio, Rosanna Berquist. The fun fact is that, and she might talk about this, but she's originally from Peru. And if you've been a listener for a while, you know that my husband is from Chile, that I lived in Chile before I met my husband and all that fun stuff. So Chile is just a big part of my life, and Peru and Chile are neighbors. So I always enjoy talking to people that are from that part of the world. Rosanna, thank you so much for joining me.
Well, thank you for having me here, Jessica. I love to be here too.
Your energy is just so cool. I can't wait to talk to you about your faith journey. So I already let the cat out of the bag that you're from Peru, but I'm wondering if you can just tell our listeners a little bit about your background, kind of where you're from, and also, I don't know, tell us how you ended up having a faith relationship with God, or maybe what it was like for you growing up with relationship to God.
Well, I was raised in a very big family, 7 children, my father, my mother, Catholic. It was a nice family, busy, very, 11 months between kids. So it was my mom in 6 years, she had 7 kids.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so it was busy.
I bet.
But big family, my mom also had 7 siblings, my dad too. So we had cousins all over the place. It was a big family. We went to Catholic school. We went to church every Sunday. So I was raised in the Catholic faith. Well, most of Latin America, as people know,
right,
are Catholic, right?
Right?
But my parents took it seriously. Mm-hmm. So we, the school and church and everything. So I was raised like that. But I didn't have the concept of the gospel necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
I was very faithful, going to church, reading, studying, knew my Bible.
Kind of the religious activities.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
It was like that. And looking back today, I can say God, how he used that after I became a believer, for sure, right? And my parents were conservative, and so I was raising the morals and principles of the Catholic faith.
Mm-hmm.
But when I came, and God used it. I remember high school, how the priest was after me, kind of like, you need to come to this retreat, things like that that happened throughout my life. I say, why me? Why not my siblings, So
yeah.
I saw that in my life. But it was not really until I was older and here in the United States that I came to faith in Christ. So I came when I was 25.
To the U.S.?
To the U.S.,
okay.
Yes. And to work. I was working in an international organization, and there was a lot of Hispanic and Latin Americans working there. And therefore, they were mostly Catholic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I started, but there were a few evangelicals that had Bible studies at lunchtime. So I started attending Bible studies and I enjoyed them.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew my Bible and I was attending regularly. But I went to Christian churches, different ones, and I gave my life to Jesus several times. But I still think that I had not the concept of the gospel and
right.
grace and sin and redemption, restoration. I consider myself like good, from a good family, good principles.
A good person.
Absolutely. I was the perfect Pharisee. That's how I see it.
The perfect Pharisee.
Yes, because I knew my Bible. I went to church. I was from a good family, quote, right?
Right,
because
right.
Because everybody, But I personally didn't have the concept of sin that clear,
right
until I came here and I started attending these Bible studies.
But it became more evident to you?
It came more evident not until I have my own personal experience that brought sin, really. But I was more aware of the gospel and grace and Jesus died for my sin. This is something that not necessarily you hear in I don't know. I didn't get the concept clear.
Growing up. I didn't hear it either growing up.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was always in mass and right. I was doing all the things. So I didn't have that concept. Yes. He came for the sinners that are in jail. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
For people that are really rob or kill. I didn't feel me myself. Even though I believe in Jesus, I didn't see myself in that category of a sinner. That's the thing. It's only for the really bad people. Right.
Yeah. Imagine. I don't need it, but those people really need it.
That's the truth. That's how I felt. I was so good. That's how I felt.
Yeah.
Until I had like an experience here as an adult already. So for a brief time, I was married. And in the Catholic way, it was more, first it was the legal marriage, and then I was going to get married in Peru. But my marriage got dissolved in 6 months before the wedding, right?
Okay.
But I was still legally married. So for mm-hmm. me, yeah. So it was, that experience was kind of like strong, devastating. I was not expecting that.
You thought you were going to Peru to get married.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And it didn't happen, right? So, and it was because my husband had this thing with his mother. She wanted him to go back and not stay here, and he went back, and that was it, right?
Right.
So he left, and then so it was a shock for me, and it was hard and everything, and that's what brought me actually to pursue more God, that sorrow, that pain, that thing that you never expect,
mm-hmm.
because even though I was not a believer in my faith, you married for life, right? At that time,
mm-hmm.
even with my concept a little not full, marriage is for life. And it was not happening.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very, very hard. So I was then all of a sudden I started pursuing more. And I had already my, let's say at work, my community of Christians
right.
that were strong believers. So it was in one of those days that I called a really good friend of mine. She was a strong Christian. I said, oh, can you come and pray with me? And because as a Catholic, you don't pray aloud in a group.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Unless there are prayers written, you didn't. So, but my friend was very strong believer Christian. So she will pour my heart to the Lord, my own heart.
Mm-hmm.
She will pray for me and I will agree with her prayers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was very comforting. She praying for me in her, pouring her heart, but it was my heart to God, right?
Yeah.
So it was very, 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 and it was, that was the first time I heard literally, almost audible, the voice of God. And He was telling me, Rosanna, you need to forgive your ex-husband and your mother-in-law too, he said, because, and this is something that only God can say, because she is but a mirror of what your life, what you could be in 30 years, should I not touch your heart today to change it?
Mm.
So the whole world was telling me, oh, he's doing wrong. The mom was totally wrong. You're right. You need to forget. You need to pass the page.
Mm-hmm.
Just pass the page and forget. The whole world in Peru and in Washington, D.C. were saying
it's
that.
It's their fault.
It's
you need to move on.
You need to move on.
Right.
You did
mm-hmm.
nothing wrong. But mm-hmm. God was not
but
saying
God
that.
God didn't say that.
Didn't say that. He said, mm-hmm. you have that possibility. It will be you in 30 years if I don't touch your heart today to change it. That was the day of my salvation.
It opened your eyes.
It was that, because here it says, the person that I thought was made the worst thing in my life was making me suffer this much. And God is telling me, you could do the same. You have the potential.
Yeah.
You have the potential.
You're not so perfect.
No. But only God. Yeah. This is the thing that, you know, when God speaks, you know it's God.
And it is.
Nobody. Everybody was telling me, you're right 100%. They are wrong 100%. Pass the page.
Yeah.
God was not saying that.
Yeah.
He had mercy on me.
Yeah.
That's what it was. He had mercy. And that's how I felt. That was the day God had mercy on me and revealed himself to me. And my life was changed.
Wow.
That day.
He showed you that you needed him, that you couldn't do it without him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yes.
Wow. So whenever that happened, I can tell just not only in the energy of your voice, but also I get to see your face while we're having this conversation. I can just tell that there's this joy behind that day because you realize God came for you and he did something for you that you could have never done for yourself. And from that point forward, you were, that's when things changed for you. So what happened after that? Like, how did your life go after that happened?
Well, it was amazing, actually. It was not that it was easy, but it was amazing when I look back, because that day my life was transformed, right? My desires were changed. It's not that I had to fight. Oh, I would like to do this, but I don't want. No. My desires were changed completely. And now, at that time, I was still legally married, and I didn't want to do anything about it because I said, I already messed up, so I'm going to wait. And I just devoted myself to seeking God. I was so hungry for the word, to know God. I had heard his voice for the first time. I was just so thirsty to hear more. So I devoted myself to, well, I was working a lot, living in D.C., and I would come from work and just devour my Bible. And meanwhile, people were telling me, you have to do those papers, divorce, get a divorce. You are not single, you are not married, what are you? And I say, not in the middle, but for now, I'm just seeking God. And I just devote myself to that work and pursue God. And that was for 2 solid years. Two solid years that I didn't go out with anybody. Well, friends, of course, my family, friends.
Yeah.
But I...
No dating.
No. I was legally married. So, and I felt that God kept me there. People were, you know, because he was healing my heart. He was restoring, healing, all these things that I was learning. I was so devoted to that specifically. 2 years later, my ex-husband came and asked for divorce because he met a person that he wanted to marry. I said, no problem. And I just signed the papers and that was it. And then I remember telling God, I was so invested then. I found a church, and I remember telling God, just don't let any man that is not going to be my husband get close to me. Not even, I'm not talking about physically, I'm talking emotionally. Not even. I just want to be, know you. And I remember, and if I change my mind in a few years because of life, just don't listen to those prayers. Remember this one. I remember saying,
remember this prayer. Don't let anybody get near me.
And between us.
Between you and me.
Between God and exactly, because I know that it can happen, right? So I had that very clear that if I marry again, it had to be a man that loved God. So I say, don't let anybody get between us, right? Well, that prayer cost me 14 years. Yes. But, you know, there were amazing 14 years of walking, holding hands with Jesus. That's how I see my life. When I look back, even how he sustained me. I was so invested in my church. And my church at that time was a lot of homeschoolers, a lot of families, people, families of 5 kids, 6 kids, 10 kids, 4 kids. It was a lot of families, not too many single people, but I loved the church. So I was so invested there. I was discipling younger women. I was attending conferences and working. I live in D.C. and my church was in Fairfax. It was not that close, but I love it. So I drove all the way, and so that's what I did for many years. Now, were they perfect years? No, sometimes you kind of like, oh, I wish I was married. And I was working, and not that you didn't have any temptations or people pursuing you. So it was always like I needed accountability with women, and I had it to keep myself, right? Because there was plenty of people that wanted to go out. And I said, no, it's not going to happen. Either it's a godly man, but my organization was not necessarily full of Christians, right? So I didn't date for all those years. Not that I didn't talk to men. Yes, I go out to dinner and then realize, no, he's not a Christian, and he's not even open desiring to be a Christian. So I wouldn't go out again. So
how old were you whenever you really surrendered your life to God?
30.
30 years old. Okay. Yeah. So the 14 years took you to your mid 40s.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And they were amazing years. I consider that. It's like, holding hands with Jesus. I just had this relationship and I plenty of friends, community, mm-hmm. always church, always small group, always Bible study. So I had a lot of great community with believers.
It sounds like you still went through seasons of maybe some grief or, you know, just processing your stage in life. But you, because of that strong community, because of those activities that you were involved in, because of the fact that your relationship with God was so strong, your faith in God's work in your life and his plan for your life was bigger and stronger than the grief that you may, like the waves of grief that may have come through that told you, oh, I wish I could meet somebody or I wish I was married or whatever, you know?
It was amazing. I can say I had great community life, great fellowship. God placed me in a great church and my group, my small group was not that small. It was a family and they were single, married, kids. It was all very rich. My small group in the church was almost like a little church.
Yeah.
And we were so close to one another. So we did life together.
A
lot.
Yeah.
And then
how beautiful
it was. Yeah. It yeah. was. It was very rich. Now, in my office, I also had a Bible study here and there. So I had Christians that I could go to, but I had a wonderful job. I enjoy my job, even though it was not a Christian organization. Mm-hmm. It was an international organization. I travel with coworkers, and it was wonderful. Mm-hmm. And so God blessed me in all those years, single years. It was amazing how he blessed me in all those years.
Right.
Meanwhile, when I'm here in my house and in church, I am so focused and invested in the church, the church life with younger women, discipling and helping the married people and babysitting and doing these things that eventually helped me in my own marriage. So I was so invested even with families, with many children. So that even equipped me to be a mother
for what was to come.
Exactly.
So we need to let the cat out of the bag because we've said that there's a 14-year period. So what happened? The singleness of the 14 years ended? Tell us about that.
Well, yes, it did. It was like it was amazing because it was a time when I was totally content with my single life. Uh-huh. I was even planning. I was going back to school, planning, thinking what I want to do when I retire, what I want to do. So I was thinking even beyond. I was not necessarily,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
I was totally content with my life. And then, yes, I met my husband who was a widower.
Okay.
A widower. And so it was a total surprise, right? A widower, recent widower, and with four little children.
Oh, wow.
I mean,
wow.
They were 2, 4, 6, and 8 at that time.
2, 4, 6, 8. Wow.
Yes, yes, yes. So we met and it was like amazing the fact that I was thinking, wow, and he's a widower even. So
yeah.
So that will make me like a full-time mom.
Right.
Right?
Right.
It was not easy in the sense that at the beginning people show concern, but he's a recent widower. How can you, you know?
Yeah.
But God walked us through that time that we were like getting to know one another, meeting the children and putting families together because you're talking about my family, his family, mm-hmm. and the birth mom family,
yeah.
right? That mm-hmm. didn't want to go to be with the Lord. Mm-hmm. She didn't want to go. And there you have the three families to put together. But God was so good and faithful in bringing us together. Mm-hmm. And I got so close to her family,
yeah.
my kids.
Cool is that?
Yes, because my kids... at that time, they were the only grandkids, imagine. So these
right.
grandparents lost not only their daughter, but these were the only
mom
grandkids. I can imagine that it could be scary, right? Oh,
yeah.
All of a sudden, you know. But I got really close to them. I wanted my kids to continue having this relationship. And then I got close to the whole family. So mm-hmm. we're really close to her family, mm-hmm. you know. Now many years after, now it's like, almost 20 years later.
Yeah.
You know, we're very close, three families that meet together. But I like that fact that it's amazing how from a tragedy that is that his mm-hmm. wife died young, very young, in a very fast way too.
Was it illness?
Yeah, mm-hmm. cancer, mm-hmm. leukemia. And she went in 2 months.
Oh my goodness.
It was really, really fast. Mm. So it was a tragedy and a shock. Imagine mm-hmm. that the kids were so little, the little one was not even talking.
Mm-hmm.
My little one. And so it was a tragedy, and how only God can do such a thing, that from a tragedy, you know, it's like he gave me a husband and children that at 43, mm-hmm. I could have maybe one or two if, right? But there I have 4 children, and then he's getting a wife, and the children are getting a mother because their mother went to be with the Lord.
Right.
So it was like out of a tragedy that was, the death of my mother came a blessing too, in the sense that it was a blessing.
Yeah.
And then so we married like 7 months later, and I legally adopted the children, and since I was old enough, I even quit my job and just became a full-time say. I didn't give them birth. I just quit, and people thought I was crazy. Why are you gonna quit this job? And I said, well, I always wanted to be a mom. Why not? I can quit my job. So I did.
Right.
I quit my job after 20 years, and how can I be? Yeah, and I devoted myself to them because they were little still.
Right.
They were little. And then I invented myself later on when they were in school full time. I reinvented that. That's when I started the translations and to do part time when
things.
They were in school.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I just keep on thinking about the prayers of their mom before she passed. I can only imagine. I mean, I put myself in those shoes. If I were diagnosed with something that was terminal and I have 4 small children, the prayers that I would be praying, you know, when I'm on my deathbed, would be for God to put everything in place and to order every single step in order for my children to be taken care of.
It is amazing that you asked that question, because, you know, I asked that question too. Mm. And Scott told me that it was amazing when she had to be at the hospital. I say, we have a bed for you. You need to come soon. And even at that time of urgency, she told him, oh, Rachel needs pants. Let's stop in Target. Can you imagine? She's on the way to the hospital to get the toughest chemo treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And she stops to buy pants for my little one. Mm-hmm. Right? I always tell that to Rachel. But so she was always thinking about the children. But Scott told me she had a strong faith. She totally trusted God for her children. And mm-hmm. and the amazing thing is that you said that is because often, not once, not twice, but often when I have a prayer of supplication to God about one of my kids for anything, any problem, anything, whatever, I'll say to him, and I'll go to that, remember the prayers of your daughter, Sarah. She died trusting in you for her children, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I tell God even that. Not only my prayers,
but her prayers.
She died trusting that you mm-hmm. were bigger than you mm-hmm. take care of her children.
Her family.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So
it's double prayer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Double power.
Because I know she prayed those prayers.
Of course
and
she
I
did.
And I said, remember those prayers, not only what
How
I'm saying today.
How beautiful is that? Yes. Yeah. That is really beautiful. And you know, it's such a tricky thing, you know, for a young family and a widower husband, you know, but for everyone to be walking in faith, trusting God, praying to God, and for God to be orchestrating things. Because meanwhile, you were in a 14-year waiting period that you had kind of almost like not even waiting anymore. You were just moving on with your life,
yes.
You know, and meanwhile, God had other steps ordered for you, and it was the answer to their prayers. And now these children have had a mom for the mm-hmm. past 20 years, and and a full family. And I know now that my understanding is it's like a full house, right? with the four adult children around
adult
as well.
Children,
yeah.
Yes.
Man.
Only one lives with us, but the other three are around and with their, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
With their other
lots of energy.
Yes, so
and yeah,
always
having
around.
Fun.
It is very, yeah. It is very, very nice. Mm. It is a blessing to have all four children around us.
Yeah. So, Rosanna, tell me what you have learned about God's character through all of this. What are the things that you take away after all of these years, since you were 30 years old, and you really came to a true understanding of faith in Him?
Even, well, all these things that come to mind after I really gave my life to Him, but looking back, I see His hand in my life since I was very, very young.
Oh, that's true.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
So one thing that I see is how He was after me.
Mm.
That I always remember.
The pursuit.
Totally. When I was not pursuing Him,
right.
He was after me. I can go back and, that time. And again, since I was before
very
attend,
little.
Yeah, very
mm-hmm.
little. I can see how He was after me, and I can see it clearly. And the same thing that He was after me before I gave my life to Him, I see it today.
Mm-hmm.
He continues His mercy, His grace, His love, His faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes I can get distracted and I don't pursue or I don't ask for something to God and make mm-hmm. a decision without even asking. And then I realize, but He wants the same thing, right? He's always again and again and again wanting this relationship. And so I see definitely His love and mercy because He was pursuing me when I was not. And then how great the grace in saving me, in revealing Himself to me.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that was impossible.
Mm-hmm.
He just decided to speak to me.
Out of His great love.
Yes, and out of His love.
Yeah.
I was not seeking Him. And so that for me is like something I grab and I hold
mm-hmm.
to for anything that happens.
An
after
anchor
that.
For
totally.
You. Yeah.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
He did it. He'll do it again.
Mm.
He'll do it again. He'll
mm-hmm.
do it again. And I see Him. It's the same mercy, the same love, the same patience as we grow and walk and fall and go back and then stand up again. I see that faithfulness, that grace, that love, that mercy, unconditional. That's how I see.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah, it's especially since you had the many years before coming to know Him, then the 14 years of waiting before marriage, and then such a miraculous situation with your marriage and parenting that overnight you became the mom of four children, and it just really revolutionized the way you lived your life, and that God had all of that mapped out, and you never, ever could have imagined that's what He would have done with you for your life. So as we wrap up, I always really like to think about someone who might be, you know, like exploring their faith right now. And I'm curious if there's anything else you want to share with us before we wrap up, and then maybe you can give some advice to that person.
I would say we were created to have a relationship with God through Jesus. It's like there's always this, only when I get this, when I get that, when I get married, when I have a kid, when I get this job, when
mm-hmm.
there's no when. There's nothing that will satisfy us the same way that having a relationship with God through Jesus can do. I know those 14 years that I didn't have what I had desire, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have the husband I desire. I didn't have the children I desire. And how content and satisfied I was in those years. And another thing that I would say is Jesus never asked us to do things we don't want to do. He changed me. My desires change. My likes and dislikes change. It was not that I was, you have to do this now that you're a Christian. You have
mm-hmm.
to do that. No, it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have to do anything. He changed me from the inside out. So there's, because some people fear, if I become a Christian, I cannot do this, I cannot do that. No, it's not like that.
Yeah.
It's like He changes you.
I had that. I was a teenager when I became a Christian, and I was very much like, I don't want to do it because then I'm not going to be able to XYZ, you know? And then when I did become a Christian, I was like, oh my gosh, I don't care about those things at all anymore because this is so much more important. This is so much more valuable.
Exactly. So that's the thing. Don't fear like, oh, if I give my life to Jesus, it's going to be so boring. And no, it's not.
Definitely not.
It's not. It's not. And everything that I have done since I became a believer, everything I have loved to do.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to do. Nobody made me. I wanted to do. I want to do what I'm doing today. And that's the thing. That's the thing that they need to know. No, that's not how it works. It's not punishment. It's not like, it's not something bad. It's something really, really good.
I love that. Thank you so much. This is beautiful. What a beautiful life story and what great advice as well. Thank you so much for sharing with us today, Rosanna.
You're most welcome. I love to share these things. What God has doing in my life is just wonderful.
Amen. Go to the description of today's episode to find more information about what we discussed. If you like this podcast, please click follow, share it with a friend, or leave us a review. And get excited because new episodes release every week.